And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well and had a great weekend. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? Welcome back into Nashville.
Thanks. Yeah, eventful weekend in Knoxville. A lot of stuff happened.
There's a lot of stuff going on in Knoxville. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. But what a wild night that was on Saturday night at Neyland Stadium. Lots to come on that throughout the show today. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Michelle Knezovic, how are you? What's going on?
Doing good. Doing good, guys, this morning. One contact in, though. Fell out while I was driving, so.
Oh, boy.
What a Monday.
So
one contact in, one contact out.
Just like somewhere like on your floorboard or something or on the seat.
Did you? I caught it with my pointer finger and was driving a little slow, obviously. And then I got here and I was like, oh, I don't have any contact solution. Put it under a little water and it was game over. So
yeah,
what a Monday.
Supervision in one eye and not so much in the other eye.
All right. Well, here we go.
That'll be
here
fun.
Here we are.
Speaking of fun. Should be a fun game tonight for the Titans against the Bills at Nissan Stadium. Joe Rexrode, if me walking around on Saturday night heading to Bridgestone Arena is any indication, quite a few representatives from the Bills Mafia here. It's going to be quite the environment tonight at Nissan Stadium. Protect your folding tables at all costs today here in Nashville.
Yeah, so I heard someone say they thought it was almost 50-50 2 years ago, which I don't remember it. Like, they definitely had a presence. But I don't remember them being more than some of the other fan bases. I mean, they have a good presence. But I don't know. What percentage are we thinking here?
I don't know.
I don't think it'll be huge.
No, like I'd be surprised if it's like the majority or anything.
No.
But apparently from some Titans people that I've talked to, in terms of not people in the organization but friends, you could make a pretty penny selling this ticket if you're a Titans fan.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You get those – you get one or two a year where you bank on it, and then you pay for the rest of your year. You know, I've heard that. But if you're a Titans fan who has tickets to this game, I guess wouldn't this be one of the ones you'd be most looking forward to?
Yeah, that's what this is why you get tickets, right? Monday Night Football, big AFC matchup. Like, this is the whole point, isn't it?
I would think so. I know some people, well, we can empathize. Some people have to wake up real early.
Yeah.
On you know, weekday morning. So it's like, okay, well, if I'm gonna miss a game, you know, Monday night, you know, then I can watch it and go right to bed, not get in traffic after the game. But no, I'm sure there'll be a Bills presence, but I feel like just the overall interest in this Titans team dictates, you know, that it's not gonna be like, I mean, even a couple years ago and in the recent years, yeah, the Titans have struggled to fill the place with their fans, and now that certainly has gotten better. So it'll be interesting, but it'll be wild. It'll be fun, and you will definitely hear those people.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, I just wanted to say the Titans are the one that started the beating the Patriots trend, knocking them out of the playoffs, killing the dynasty between Belichick and Brady. The Titans started all that. Hashtag Titan Up. And the Patriots have not yet recovered. Tough loss yesterday to the Cowboys in overtime. What
great
a game.
Great game.
Yeah.
Great game. Tony Romo, calm down a little bit with your Cowboys cheering.
He was excited yesterday.
He was very excited when Trevon Diggs got that pick six.
Yes, he was.
That was a great game. And, yeah, that's tough for the Pats. They are, I mean, you talk about division races being over. The team that's in town tonight might clinch by before
Halloween.
Thanksgiving. I mean, I was going to say Thanksgiving, but I mean it's almost over. You know, I still think the Patriots are pretty good. The Dolphins are. I mean, what? Oh, the Dolphins, man. Ooh!
Congratulations to Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah,
20 in a row. They get it done yesterday. Finally, a win. Still have not won in the continental United States in a while, but you know what? You'll take it where you can get it.
I haven't been able to catch up. Like, you know, we were driving back from Knoxville, like, what during that game and the end of that game, and I never really caught up with, like, did Urban, like, was Urban showered in Gatorade? Like, did he have an amazing press conference afterward? How did he celebrate?
I don't know.
There's a lot of good pubs in London.
There's a lot of good ones. Yep.
But, yeah, that's a good job, Jags, and bad job, Dolphins. Tua, my prediction that Tua was going to be a great quarterback in this league is looking worse and worse.
It is. He's got some work to do. That old team's got some work to do. I picked them to make the playoffs this year. That's going well.
Yeah, they got to be the most disappointing team, yeah, probably in the NFL, right?
I would think so. They're certainly up there. And then I think maybe the most surprising result yesterday, not in terms of who won the game, but how they won the game, Ravens 34, Chargers 6.
Yeah.
And Lamar, I mean, Lamar threw two picks. He's 19 of 27, a buck 67 through the air. Like, he wasn't that great throwing the football yesterday, but they got it done. The defense was awesome. And for a team that had all these injuries to start the season, here the Ravens are 5-1 and maybe have the MVP candidate, the leader in the clubhouse at the moment.
Well, although I don't think they do, because I think Kyler Murray and Dak Prescott are the top two, right?
Could be.
I mean, their numbers are outrageous, but Lamar Jackson's definitely in there. Josh Allen is definitely in there, too.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry, I'm going to keep saying his name when we talk MVP, but that division is wild. You know, like you said, the Ravens were banged up. We were talking, I think one of the topics on, you know, Jared versus Joe is like, are the Ravens totally done?
Right.
When they lost, of course, like when they lost like their first game. But they are 5-1. You know, the Bengals are 4-2. You saw the Bengals. They're pretty good, right? The Browns are, what in the world is going on with them?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a combination. They hold the Vikings to 7. That's this league. So we just talked about the Chargers doing nothing in Baltimore. The Browns go to Minnesota, and I still think Minnesota is a pretty good offensive team.
Yep.
Hold them to 7. Then they just get torched by the Chargers, who just got 6 against the Ravens. And then the Browns at home, if they don't have a Hail Mary, basically they lost 37-7 to the Cardinals. Baker doesn't look good. He's banged up. I think Conklin got hurt yesterday. Their backs are hurt. I mean, that division is wild. And meanwhile, it's Pittsburgh Steelers, 3-3.
Back to 3-3.
Just, you know, finding ways to get dubs.
Round of applause. You know,
as bad as week one was for the Titans, and it was bad, and Chandler Jones, you know, he almost had 35 sacks in one game. That loss is starting to look a little bit better based on what the Cardinals are doing at this point. 6-0 and just destroying the Browns yesterday.
I think we did talk about that the next day. It's like, mostly today, we're going to talk about how embarrassing and awful the Titans were. Let's also look at the other team and say, they might be all right.
Yeah.
That team, by the way, needed Greg Joseph to botch a short field goal to still be undefeated right now. Your Packers could be in a division race, but they probably won't be. And by the way, your guy Aaron Rodgers, what was it? I bleeping own you, Chicago. Oh,
I hadn't been that fired up in a long time. That was awesome. I enjoyed every second of it.
Oh,
Aaron Rodgers just reminding Chicago who daddy is yesterday when he runs in for the touchdown.
Was he talking to a I saw it. He was like in the corner after he ran that TD. And was he actually talking to a specific
fan?
Yes,
he was. Yeah. There was a woman in the stands giving him the double bird, and he was yelling back, and then he decided to yell at the entire crowd. I can't wait to get Corey Curtis' thoughts on it a little bit later in the program.
The double bird. Okay, I didn't see that angle of it.
Oh, they didn't show it. Like, nobody saw it. That was just what Roger said in the press conference.
Okay.
Like, oh, yeah, there's a lady giving me a double bird. I decided to remind the city of Chicago what's going on.
He focused on the double bird lady.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, they're looking pretty – I mean, you know,
Justin Fields got some work to do.
Yeah, like
– I mean, he's a rookie quarterback, so yeah. But there's some decisions and throws yesterday that he's got some work to do.
Right. Yeah, they're not – they're a solid team. But this is why you wait, right? I don't know that Andy Dalton would be doing a lot better because he still also has bad turnovers here and there. But, like, it's obvious he's a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, again, who's the best rookie quarterback right now? It's probably Mac Jones, right?
Probably. Although, Trevor Lawrence, nice win yesterday, man. Yeah. But, yeah, probably Mac Jones.
Yeah. So, it's you can rarely – go back to Kyler Murray. I mean, there was already, when Kyler Murray came in the league, a lot of like, okay, he's small – he should play baseball. That offense and Cliff Kingsbury, it's not going to work, right? And as a rookie, There are a lot of weeks where like, see? Told ya. Well, he was a rookie. Now look at him now. Look at them now.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. 6-0 Cardinals, 5-1 Rams. The NFC at the top. 5-1 Packers, 5-1 Bucks, 5-1 Cowboys. Pretty clear cut who's going to be in the postseason. It's heck of a race to the one.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome to watch. And then, you know, I thought that we could be having a discussion about maybe a 2-4 Kansas City Chiefs team coming in here next week. They started off that game rough. And Patrick Mahomes, the second one especially, was probably the worst pick I think I've ever seen him throw. I mean, it was really bad. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, is Kansas City about to lose to the Washington football team? They did not. They figured it out. Mahomes ends up 32 of 47 for basically 400 yards. So they figured things out offensively. But, you know, I don't know how much you take into the defensive performance, given that, you know, Taylor Heineke's the starting quarterback on the other side. But
yeah.
I guess avoiding disaster yesterday for Kansas City. It started off rough in that game for them.
Well, and Tyreek Hill gets hurt again, but then he came back, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, they figured some things out. They had a good half to build on coming in here, but that's still – I mean, frankly, the Titans, you know, are about to play two games in 6 days, and I like their chances a lot better in the second one than the first one, frankly.
Yeah.
But that's why they play the game tonight.
That is why they play
about
the game
13 hours from now.
That is correct, and we'll take your thoughts on the Titans all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. When we come back, it was a wild Saturday night in Knoxville, Tennessee. A really good game between the Vols and Ole Miss, and then some things happened at the end of that game that really stole the spotlight from Tennessee at Neyland Stadium. We'll get into all of it coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It was a wild scene at Neyland Stadium on Saturday night between the Vols and Ole Miss. And what you heard there was audio of basically all hell breaking loose at Neyland Stadium and things being thrown from the stands. The game was delayed for, it felt like, 3 hours. I think in all actuality it was about 30 minutes where the game was delayed, but a crazy scene Saturday night at Neyland Stadium. Joe Rexroad, you were there on the field for this crazy scene. What was that like?
Yeah, so I was like, you know, there may be some amazing finish here. I'd rather be, you know, on the field for this, you know, to see it up close. You know, maybe sometimes you get a little video of it or whatever. So I'm down there, and, you know, it starts out. This happens all the time, the way it started out. You know, so first of all, you got the call, and from my vantage point, I was pretty close to that play. Amazing play by Hooker on 4th and 23.
Yeah.
To wait it, let it, and let Jacob Warren clear in that deep middle of the field against that zone look and get him the ball perfectly. Like, that was such a big-time throw. They were so toast at that point. And as I saw him, I'm like, oh, yeah, he definitely got it. And then they showed the replays. And I kept seeing the replays. And, of course, I'm just getting the stadium replays at this point. You know. And everything they showed on the screen, it was like, clearly that's a first down. So there was high anticipation in that stadium. Like, yes. Like, it's going to be overturned, and it's going to be Vols first down. And then, of course, they come out in the call stands. And so it was just pure, you know, obviously pure anger. And I think a lot of people will point to that moment and say, that was the moment where everybody, like 12 years of misery came out at once or whatever. But, you know, it started out like bleep, 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 bleep in the end zone. Right, I'm standing right there, and it's like they're kind of hitting near me, you know. And I'm like, okay, I mean, that happened. Like, people throw stuff at games.
Yes.
This happens all the time. But then it just became, it was like, you know, it was almost biblical, like the frogs. I mean, it was just like, I mean, you know, it was, and, you know, honestly, like, I actually have respect for the first few people who were just pissed off and threw something.
Yeah.
Because that's, but what you had is, you know, what you had a lot of, and yes, there was stuff coming from the upper deck too, but I still would say, like, I saw Wes Rucker tweet yesterday that he thought it actually was more from the upper. No way, man.
No.
It was mostly from the student section. Which, so I was standing in the south. I actually went to that side brilliantly, standing right by Cole Kublik, who did that report. I should have stood near him. That dude's like 6'8".
But protection.
Yeah, but yeah, stood right over that mustard. There it is. There's the French's mustard bottle. But what happened is, you have these students who, you know, like the security people are trying to see who's doing it. They're looking up and they're trying to, you know, who is it? And then every once in a while they'd go up and they'd say, okay, him, get him out, you know. But a lot of it was just student, like you'd crouch down underneath your, you know, behind a few people and launch it like this, you know. So you'd see, like, you'd see a lot of stuff that was kind of coming out of nowhere because people aren't like standing up and say, look at me, and throw it, you know. But it just got stupid. I mean, it just got, I mean, more than I'd ever seen, and it lasted too long. And so, like, Chris Lowe is, after the game, is like, yeah, like, I saw these big screws that were being thrown. You know, like, stuff like that in the golf ball. Yeah. I mean, look, you throw a dip spit bottle, that's not cool. I guess if it's capped, whatever. A full water bottle with pretty good gravity from the top, that could hurt someone. I mean, I saw some people get hit. That we were like, oh, you know. I mean, you know, again, it wasn't like I think some people maybe overstated a little bit. It wasn't like I was down there mostly like, this is so dumb, shaking my head, and we were kind of laughing at some of the stuff. You know, vape pens, I saw those too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it just got out of hand. It just got out of hand. And
I came back. I was at Bridgestone Arena, and I was down in the Carolina room talking to Rod Brennamore. Talked to John Hines, got back up to the press box at Bridgestone, and like I'm finishing my story for NHL.com, and then I have YouTube TV on, I turn it on, and all this is going on. So I missed the play originally. Like I missed the fourth down play, and I was like, oh God, what happened? Like what happened to allow this to be going on? And eventually I saw the replay, and I think it was the right call. I think he was short based on where the ball was. It was close. I think he was short.
Well, real quick, I'll interject. I agree. So, but again, in the stadium, they showed like two or three angles. All of them made it look very much. Now, later, as I'm writing in the press box, the ESPN recap comes on, and they had, unfortunately, they never had an angle from the other side of the field, but they had the one where you see that the ball was in his left hand.
Yeah.
So, to me, that made it a 50-50 call. I thought it was clear. I mean, first of all, they put it at the 41. It was never should have been the 41. The line to gain was the 40.
Yeah.
I thought he was at the 39. I was like, that's an – like, you have to overrule that. But later, when you see that the ball was actually tucked left and was kind of back, yeah, it was very – it was one of those things where when I saw that, I'm like, okay, you're probably not going to get a spot over overturn. He may have still made the line to gain. It was very close, but – then that's when you're not overturning it. So I had a different perspective on that call later. The 102,000 people did not see that.
No.
So you got to keep that in mind. Yeah, I'm not excusing the idiots who did this stuff, but I'm just saying the information available in the stadium at that time was the bad call. Well, it was a bad call.
My second thought was, what kind of security they got at Neyland Stadium where people can bring in golf balls and mustard bottles and throw them on the field? Like, I get it. There's only so much you can do. But that was why I was thinking, like, how did he get, like, a golf ball in here?
Yeah, but you're not patting people down.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, you're going, you know, I mean, yeah. I mean, look.
I wonder if that changes moving forward.
Well, there's a lot of things that, you know, I did think about. Like, just the night game thing. You're not going to take away night games. I mean, the SEC, there's a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's TV runs the world. But, I mean, like, a lot of this is that, too. It's just drinking all day long. I mean, that's what a whole bunch of people in that stadium did. So that also creates this issue. But, again, could you take alcohol sales out of the stadium? Would that make a difference? Has that made it worse? I don't know. I think if you don't have alcohol,
people were probably pretty sauced up by the time they got there anyway.
Right. And if you if you don't have alcohol sales in the stadium, then they'll ramp it up beforehand. Right? Yeah. There were a lot of water bottles, so that's good.
Yeah. Make sure they stay hydrated. Drink all the time, water. At least. Tyler from Berry Hill on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Even though it was a terrible look for Tennessee, it's so frustrating that the story of the game is the crowd threw stuff instead of Lane telling his team to fake injuries every other play.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to this game. And, yes, I mean, I think Josh Heupel is exactly right. You know, it's the Vol Walk, the stadium, it was fantastic. It was tremendous. And again, you're talking about a 4-2 unranked team. And yeah, I understand that the Lane Kiffin thing increases interest probably, but really this was about a long-suffering fan base having another big night and showing out big time, just creating an incredible atmosphere. And frankly, their team also deserving a lot better than for us to just be talking about people throwing crap. But
yep.
That's what happened. And there is a lot more to unpack, though. And I agree. Like, I came away from that game also. Like, they've got to, and I know this has been said 10 million times, but they've got to do something with the faking of injuries. Now, every Ole Miss player who went to the field that night was not faking an injury. I mean, we watch this game every week. It's a collision violent sport, and people get hurt. And there were some guys who were hurt, who were booed, who were booed as they came off the field limping, and that's not cool. However, you also can't tell me that some of them weren't just trying to slow Tennessee down. I mean, it was over and over and over again. And Greg Sankey went on with like Chris Lowe and I think Austin Price last night and said something about that, like substitution rule. You have to sit three plays. You can only sub so many times. I mean, that's a dramatic rule if you were to make it like a limitation on subbing.
Yep.
But something has got to be done. And it's Lane Kiffin, and it's just like, dude, you guys seriously going to – I understand that it's within your rights to do this, but really? This much? You run tempo. Like, aren't you ready at all to handle this stuff?
Yep. Well, I mean, look, let's call it what it is. It was a pretty – incredibly poorly officiated game. I mean, it was.
It's a terrible crew.
It was a horrible, horribly officiated game. Look, that does not excuse what happened.
No.
Stop throwing stuff on the field. I don't think that's really that much to ask. I understand that you're frustrated. Just quit throwing stuff on the field. But it was the officiating in that game was awful. And I didn't even get to see all the game. Like, I was kind of going back and forth watching the Preds game and the Vols game. And even from, you know, I probably saw 65-70% of it. It was terrible.
Yeah, I mean the big call that's inexplicable is the touchdown early, the return. I mean, it's, you know, obviously that's like a real long drawn out fake. Matt Corral trying to just totally like stand there and then he's gonna throw it. I mean, it's just weird that if you're Matt Corral, you don't react to two people coming to you. Like the fake, you can stop clearing out the fake. You're about to get tackled, but there was no forward progress. They took the ball from his hands and scored.
Yeah.
So he did not have forward progress stopped. He was standing there. That was an awful call. It's an awful crew. It's an awful crew that completely botched. Anybody who watched the Memphis-Mississippi State game just utterly botched that game. And there is another story here that is and here's the problem, too, and I think with media, is that because of the stuff that happened and the reaction from fans – you're going to gloss over the officiating. You can't do that. Officiating is a problem. I mean, frankly, I think it's a problem in the NFL too, but it's still like it's much better. It's standardized. It's well paid. It's a profession. College football has more money running through it. Every single sport has to have a $10 million practice facility. All this money. And you can't come up with something better than refs get a couple thousand for a game to ref a game? What kind of officiating are you going to have? All this money, all the gambling that goes on around this sport, and you're going to have the most vulnerable people who could totally change the outcomes of games not make money? It's insane that we are here right now and we still haven't figured out that officials need to be – way more investment needs to be made in this. It is a critical part of the game, and it's bad right now.
We'll continue the conversation on the Vols and the Ole Miss game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. The Nashville Predators are in action, and all Nashville Predators regular season games are now on sale, and that means you've got your opportunity to be in Bridgestone Arena, along with 17,000 of the best fans in sports. And the best way to guarantee a spot in Smashville for all the best games is by becoming a season ticket citizen. But
Single game tickets are a flexible option as well. Remember, the outdoor game coming up on February 26th at Nissan Stadium, the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series between the Predators and the two-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. So for more information on that and to become a season ticket citizen, visit NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/tickets. Disappointing ending to a pretty memorable night at Neyland Stadium for the Tennessee Vols. Ole Miss gets it done 31-26. And John, I don't really know how to describe that game. It was a good game, obviously. It was a five-hour game at Neyland Stadium. And it was one of those games where early on, like, Ole Miss was pretty much dominating in terms of the numbers. Tennessee couldn't protect the quarterback. They weren't getting much done offensively in terms of just the pure yardage. You know, that changed as the game went on a little bit. Hooker ends up with 233 yards through the air, another 108 on the ground. Jabari Small, 92 yards on the ground as well. But a crazy game. Obviously not the scoring that we thought when you talked about maybe a, you know, 55-52 final or somewhere in there. But certainly had some big moments offensively in that game. But Matt Corral, you know, he was good through the air. I think we knew he would be good through the air. 30 carries, 195 yards on the ground for Matt Corral as well, running the ball. Didn't see that one coming. I knew he could run. I did not see 30 rushing attempts coming.
He was over 200 at some point, and then late in the game they got him for a couple losses. But, it was a Heisman night for him, to me. I mean, I think we had to do our Heisman poll, and I know this happens a lot. Like, you see someone live, like I covered like Mariota, you know, I was like, yeah, he's gonna win the Heisman. I was right that time. Like, that's the Heisman winner. I don't know if Matt Corral is the Heisman winner. Right now he's my favorite. It's a very sort of wishy washy open field right now.
Well, his numbers are insane.
And he, of course, first pick of the season, credit to the Vols. Roman Harrison almost sacking him. I think Aaron Beasley got his hand on it, and then Trevon Flowers picks it off. But if there was one thing that I guess I would criticize Tennessee's coaching staff on, it would be, like, dude, on third and long, they are running that QB draw so often.
Yep.
They're blocking it up perfectly, but I don't know. You got to muck that up somehow. The idea of spying him, I actually think Tennessee did sometimes. And I swear, whenever they appeared to go to that, like, Ole Miss took that extra, they went to the perimeter quickly and took advantage. I mean, they're very good at just cat-and-mousing you, and he's very good at taking what's there. But his running was incredible. And still, the under hit big time in this game. And Tennessee's defense just, I mean, you'd take giving up 31 to that team 100 times out of 100.
Yep.
You take it all day long. And those guys played so hard and made so many plays, even against an offense of that caliber. They deserve better. And if Tennessee's offense could have figured it out earlier, then I think it's a different story. Let's also remember, I mean, both Mays brothers are out.
Yeah.
They're hurt. And that is a banged up offensive line that for a lot of the game, a lot of the first half, that was the problem for them.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, guys. Good morning. So I wish the storyline wasn't how embarrassing Tennessee's fans are, because that's the number one story on ESPN is Vols fans pelt Lane Kiffin. So stupid. Like, this is it's his job. Like, we shouldn't. And we did the same thing with Shiano, man. Like, they're an embarrassing fan base, man. They're laughing at us. I hope you know that. I think the story should be Joe Milton's an idiot. Like, who runs the ball like they're thinking you're going to get 20 yards scrambling? But that should be the story. Instead, it's how embarrassing our fans are. I hate it. I think any other job in the world, just look at, nobody would act like that. And I wish we could do better, man. I know they got the potential to do better than that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. We appreciate it. And, you know, to that point, that is the story. Here we are. We're 38 minutes in. And, you know, you get beyond the mustard bottles and the golf balls being thrown, and Tennessee gets the ball back, and they've got a chance to drive down the field. And Hendon Hooker drives them down the field, and then he gets hurt, which, by the way, that did not look good. And I don't know what Hendon Hooker's availability is going to be as they move forward here, but it did not look great at the end of that play.
No.
So that's probably not good news for the Vols as they move forward here. But Joe Milton gets in the game. And, you know, the first pass, he rolls out to his right. And, the ball, it was a decent throw. It misses Tillman by, three, 4 inches on that play?
It's one of those, like, if it's just a little bit less heat on it or just an inch lower, I think he might come away with that.
Yeah. So you think to yourself, all right, there's 3 seconds left on the clock. You got one last chance here if you're Tennessee. At least that's what I thought we were thinking. Milton takes the snap. He's under pressure. He's rolling to his left. He escapes the pressure, and it looks like he's got a chance to let one go to the end zone, and instead he just takes off running. And not only does he take off running, he eventually just runs right out of bounds. It was quite the play from Joe Milton there.
Here's my personal video where he almost runs directly into me. And I was right next to Mike Wilson, and I looked at Mike Wilson and we're like, what did he just do?
He just ran out of bounds on the last play of the game. Like, throw the ball. If you get intercepted, who cares? You have to put the ball in the end zone.
Right. No, it's a complete lack of awareness, and just like, man, I don't know that that's the football story from the entire game. Like, there's a lot of stuff we've already gotten into, but boy, that was Hypo got asked that, you know, by somebody, and he was like, I think we'd all in this whole room agree, you know, like,
yeah, throw the ball.
Yeah, so it's that was head scratching for sure. Like, the lack of awareness. 3 seconds, you have to put it into the end zone, no matter what. Great, throw a pick. Who cares? Throw it straight up in the air. Something.
Yeah.
But Joe Milton is probably going to be Tennessee's quarterback at Alabama, by the way.
Probably so, and that's not very encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, because Hooker has really come on here. And, I mean, they got him going with the run game. He was in the negative because of sacks. And what did he end up with? 60-something yards rushing? I mean, they really got the QB run game going. He ended up with 108. There you go. I mean, that's coming back from negative because of sacks. And he made, again, that throw to Warren. He made some other throws as the Vols started to find their footing offensively and figure out different things to minimize the fact that their offensive line was so banged up. So, yeah, Joe, as for Adam's call there, look, I mean, there's more. We'll talk about this more. And there's a Rex rant coming, too. You know, I think Ubben had a pretty good column also, David Ubben, yesterday about, like, it's just, I do think that there's nationally this impulse to point at Tennessee fans. I guess my question would be, like, if this exact same thing happened, like, at LSU or Georgia or wherever, you know, the exact same thing, where you got 20 minutes of delay and it's like cheerleaders are, you know, having to shield themselves and run out of the stadium, and the opposing team seriously has to, like, turn around and look at the crowd to, like, dodge projectiles.
Yes.
Danny White is over on the sideline, just like, he's on the Ole Miss sideline, just looking into the stands trying to get him. You know, get, like, if that happened anywhere else, does it just get blown off? Does it get brushed aside? I would say no. Does it? Is the reaction as venomous toward the Tennessee fan base as some sort of commentary on the entire fan base? Maybe not, but, I mean, it's just, it happened, and it's going to be a story. It's going to derail a game, no matter who did it.
Well, it is, but I do think, to Adam's point, like, it's hard to separate the fan base in this conversation because, I mean, there still is, right or wrong, this perception, I think, nationally especially, that goes back to Shiano Sunday and say, oh, my God, Tennessee fans are nuts. And then you see them throwing water bottles and golf balls and mustard bottles onto the field, and it just kind of feeds into that. And to Adam's point, I do think there is, and, you know, Eben talked about this a little bit in his piece too, right or wrong, there will be a perception that goes along with this that I don't think is going to be positive for Tennessee.
Right. And again, it's the overreaction. Now, one person painted on the rock, Shiano covered up child rape, which is just a ridiculous overstatement of, like, a tiny little one mention of his name in a deposition.
Right.
Right. One person did that. Now, I think it was more than one person who were kind of saying that day. Yeah. Right. But it's still, like, it's, I think it's a, it's still a fringe of people. It just seems like maybe Tennessee has a little more. Maybe it's a little. Fringe is a little bigger for
fringe
Tennessee.
Is a little bigger.
And just the actual actions themselves are extreme. The overreaction to things are extreme.
Yeah, I would say so.
I do though feel for it's like with a lot of groups of people. Like I feel for. Again, there were probably 100,000 people in the stadium Saturday who were standing there like, please stop throwing stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe it's like text a buddy and tell them to stop or grab someone and tell them, you know, I don't know. I do feel for those people because they didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. Then the four-hour, 15-minute game got turned into a five-hour game. That's fun stuff.
Yeah. I was the last one out of the press box at 4 a.m. Last one. Uh-huh. I was the last one. Chris Lowe was second to last, and I was last.
It's quite the day for Joe Rexroad. We'll continue the discussion on the Vols. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel will join us to begin the 7 o'clock hour. All that's coming up. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. The clip of Kiffin walking off the field and like catching or trying to catch the water bottle and then tossing his visor into the stands as he exits the field, I can't help it. I love that guy. I can't help it. I just do.
Yeah. Well, the original angle that I saw from the video, I think Josh Pate was the one who put that out. It looked like he snagged out of there, like, man, what a, you know, like Mr. Cool, like, come on,
put him on the hands, team.
And then like the other angle, he didn't catch it.
Yeah,
dang it, Lane. But
hold on the ball.
I mean, he's hilarious. Now I will say, so you know, in the post game, you know, I went with the Vols. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, you know, chose Lane's presser, but of course you have to be on Zoom still. For like the road team is on Zoom in the SEC.
Yep.
And he was like, yeah, really? It wasn't that great, you know? I mean, he was very like, yeah, you know, give the fans a break kind of thing. He had a couple funny lines. But I would like to see. I'd like to see the alternative timeline of Lane Kiffin's presser with Joe Milton's pass getting caught by Tillman.
Yeah.
And you lose that game. And all that stuff had just happened.
Yeah.
And then what kind of shots is Lane taking? I bet you it's a very different presser. But instead he walks out and looks like Mr. Cool.
Yeah.
But no, it's hard not to enjoy him. He's funny.
Got a texture on the text line. It says, didn't you guys see all the Ole Miss guys cramping? They didn't have any water. Tennessee fans were just trying to give them some fluids on the field.
Well,
very considerate of the Tennessee fans. You guys seem to be having some trouble staying on the field. Here's some water.
Well, so in all seriousness on that, so there was one, it was one of their corners went down, like, and it was actually like right before a play, and it went down. I'm like, what in the world? But actually the replay of that, like, you actually could see his calf, like, bubbling. Like, it was actually a cramp. Some of those were real. I mean, some of them were real. They all got booed eventually, and I was like, gosh, there's some guys who are hurt here who are just getting booed. Like, I mean, just – but there's no way they were all real either. It's something's got to be figured out with that thing.
What do you do? Because, like, if you start to try – and I get it. I'm with you. Like, it's something's got to happen. But when you start trying to, like, legislate who's hurt and who's not, you can get into a really dangerous game that way.
I know. I mean – see, and the problem is if you change a rule where it's like, okay, if you go out now, you must miss three plays or something, think about how that impacts. You know, a lot of times we see, like, the quarterback, you know, gets dinged or something and has to leave for a play. And then so now it's going to be three plays? Well, I don't know. And also, how do you keep track of these things? Because you could also, like I said earlier, a little more drastic step is you can only sub in so many times. That changes the game. And, again, now – You've got to keep track of that. You got to keep track of X number of plays for a player to be able to come in if you do that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if people are going to do this the way I think clearly Ole Miss did to an extent, and by the way, I think Tennessee had a couple moments like this too Saturday night. So it's not like it was only Ole Miss. It was just much more Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But it's going to get this extreme where you're just over and over again, all right, just go down. Slow them down. I think something's got to be done. I wish I had a better solution than those two that I came up with, but I can't think of anything else.
Well, you talk about the game being 5 hours long. I mean, the 30-minute delay of raining objects on the field was a lot of that, but, you know, players going down every other play plays into that too when it's 4 hours long with these two offenses.
Oh, yeah. And then you already have 8 second possessions because of 3 incompletions. I mean, it's, ooh, what a recipe. That game should be played at 9 a.m. from now on.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, other teams have done similar things that have interrupted play. I think the way this game was hyped about Tennessee's versus their old coach on the national spotlight, the fan stadium reaction of throwing things at coach when they started to lose is what has put this entire thing under the magnifying glass. I'm a UCF grad that lives in Tennessee, so I'm not biased pro or against Tennessee, and I have no problem with their new coach. But that was one of the worst things I think I've ever seen a fan base do, and that memory will stick with me for a while.
Look, like it or not, this is going to be – like, we're going to forget 10 years from now who was in the game and what plays were made and weren't made or whatever. We'll still talk about that night because of that stuff. Like it or not, that's the reality. It's butt-chugging. And it's whatever else you want to throw in. It's Shano Sunday. It's – I called it the downpour of dumb, but I'm sure someone else can come up with a better –
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Come up with a better name. I don't know. But it's going to be remembered because it was, yes. And I've seen a lot of Tennessee fans throw out the, hey, look at this, Ole Miss basketball fans threw stuff. And there's been plenty of examples of people throwing stuff. I haven't seen this.
Right. No, this is going to be what the game has talked about for a long time, which, you know, to Adam's point earlier, I think is a shame because – I think what we've learned the last 3 weeks is this Tennessee team's pretty good. Like, they're a pretty good football team. I mean, they're probably not a top 25 team, and they're not.
They,
you know,
could be, though.
I mean, they could be, but I mean, they're.
What's Ole Miss right now? What are they, 11 now?
Yeah.
12?
Yeah.
I think Tennessee's a top 25 caliber team.
Well, I guess what I mean is, like, if Hooker's out, which it looks like he might be moving forward, like, there could be some rough Saturdays ahead because, quite frankly, I don't think Joe Milton's very good. And when you factor in, he can't complete a pass down the field and some of the decision making that he has, I just don't think he's very good. So they're probably going to start to look a little worse here with Joe Milton taking over as quarterback. But I think what we've learned, you know, a lot of people just brush the Missouri South Carolina games aside because, you know, Missouri South Carolina are no good. Tennessee hung in there, had chance after chance to win that game against Ole Miss. And that's going to get overshadowed throughout this.
No doubt. No, Tennessee, again, like I felt really bad. I mean, we only got a couple players after the game. It's late at night. But, like, I felt bad even for them. Like, Trevon Flowers, you know, picks off Matt Corral first time. And, yeah, you're going to ask him about the fan stuff. And they answered. They gave good answers. But it's like, it just shouldn't be the story. And these guys should be the story. And yes, a painful loss and a controversial loss because there were some terrible calls, although – the last call was probably right, or at least probably, I don't know if it was right, but, like, it's hard to overturn that
call. It's got to be pretty obvious to overturn a spot call. That's what we've learned. Like, it just, like, you know, Vrabel's talked about this. Like, he basically won't challenge a spot call anymore.
Right.
It's like, it's not going to get overturned.
Again, I thought it was obvious based on what we saw on the big screen.
Sure.
But you know, that other view is different. But, yeah, it was just, it overshadowed an outstanding performance. Again, I can't tell you. I'd like to see some kind of adjustment to the Corral running game, but the way they play, the way that defense is playing right now, that's really impressive. And you know, they're about to go into Bama, and it's probably not going to look very good there. But with Hooker, I think this team could go win at Kentucky. Without him, see Michelle. Look at Michelle. Look at me through the window. Like, what are you talking about? I'm not
kidding.
I just
piped up. My head just whipped around so quick.
You're like ignoring us in there, and they go, what? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Somebody told me this weekend that Tennessee is going to obviously blow out Kentucky by like 20, and I
know about all that.
Seen my face, guys. There was like
that's
fire coming out of my head. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. And I agree. So now, it's going to be Milton. Look, it wasn't going to go well against Bama or Georgia. Okay, it's not. It wasn't going to, and it won't. Kentucky is the one you look at. I'm not totally. I mean, look, the last play we just saw Joe Milton play, ooh, not good. I, you know, I still think that he has within his power the opportunity to move this offense and make a lot of plays.
I do not.
I think we'll probably say, yeah, you're out on it.
No, it just I've seen enough.
Yeah. I guess late in the Florida game wasn't a good – I thought he played pretty well in the Pitt game other than the deep shots, but I don't know. You're going to get probably another extended look at him.
Well, and the thing, there will be some fans, like, if news comes out this week, and look, you know, I'm assuming that Hooker's going to be at it, look bad. Maybe it just looked bad, and he'll be fine. He'll be able to go.
It happens.
It did not look great for Hendon Hooker. So I'd be shocked, I guess, if he's ready to play this Saturday against Alabama. You will hear a lot of fans this week clamoring for Harrison Bailey, and Harrison Bailey is not good enough. He is not ready. He's not good enough. So Joe Milton is probably going to be the guy, especially with the way they run this offense and how important the quarterback running game has become. But it's Alabama, so you don't have much confidence anyway. But if Joe Milton is going to be the guy moving forward here because of Hooker's unavailability, I don't give him much of a chance outside of South Alabama and Vanderbilt.
Like, I actually, if the Mays brothers were healthy, if Hooker were healthy, and this offense was playing like it did when it scored back-to-back 28-point first quarters, I'd like to see that offense in Tuscaloosa and see what it could do. Yep. I think it could score some points. And I think this defense that is overachieved is going to have some tough Saturdays here.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on everything that went down for the Vols on Saturday night against Ole Miss. That's coming up next. The final game of NFL Week 6 is tonight, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week, and all you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. The Bills and the Titans tonight at Nissan Stadium. Unfortunately, I think I like the Bills' money line here. I like Josh Allen over on the passing yards. Give me Stephon Diggs over on the receiving yards as well. But you take it whatever way you want to take it. It's one of the many reasons I love betting on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, and they get your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today using promo code ROB to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is ROB, so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.